This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, brought to you by Profits Plus Solutions. Increasing your profits, plus building your business for the future. We are Profits Plus. You can find us at profitsplus.org. This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Now, the host of Small Business Conversations, principal of Profits Plus Solutions, here is Tom Shea.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Small Business Conversations. This is a monthly program created by Profits Plus Solutions. It's a unique program in the sense that we do it just to get together, have a chance to visit with some very interesting people, and invite people such as you to come and listen to what it is that we have found, with the intent that the information is going to be of value to you and your business. So, that being said, let me explain to you all the particulars that we do at the beginning of each and every month. Tonight's Small Business Conversations is being recorded, as we do with all of them. It will be on the Profits Plus website probably sometime later tonight, as our information stud, Bruce Giroux, down in Florida, does the necessary massaging to put it in the right format so that you can download it. So it will be in an MP3 format for you bring down to your phone or whatever. And it also is a click and listen link that will be on the Profits Plus website. From the front page of our website, on the left side of it, there's a thing that says Small Business Conversations. First thing says Index of Conversations, and this will be the one right at the very top. Small Business Conversations is also available on a whole bunch of podcast services that have picked us up over the last couple of years. They include Anchor, Apple Podcast, Breaker, CastBox, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, Apple HomePod, Google Home, and our newest addition, we're now part of Amazon Music. So if you are a podcast person, all you got to do is put your little preference that you like our program, and your podcast service is going to send you a message to tell you when there is a new episode available for you to listen to. All right, that gets all the necessaries out of the way. Let's talk about what we're going to discuss tonight and who we are going to discuss all this neat stuff with. As we do tradition, we ask our guests to pick us some music, some kind of music that is relative. I got a hint as to where this one's going to go, as to how our guest is going to explain it, but we'll play the music first, and then you can listen as he explains.
Up in the morning and out to school, the teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math, you study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone, the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring, goes the bell.
So I think tonight we're going to get schooled. At least I think that's where we're going. Let me tell you about this person who's our guest. And let me explain to you where I found him. So there was a trade show that I had the privilege for a bunch of years to come and be a part of. And very fortunately, there was a little core group of people who would always come to my room and be a part of the classes. And I was doing a class on the calculation of ROI, return on investment in your business. And we talked about how to increase your ROI by way of reducing your expenses. We did one by increasing your margins. And then we got into the aspect of getting rid of dead inventory and reinvesting the money in something that would sell. And the example I use in the class, I start out and say, well, here's just an average business. Let's look at it. And it had a low double-digit return on investment. And I asked the group in the of the audience, are you pleased with this? And everybody goes, yeah. And I said, well, yeah, you should be. I mean, look at this number when you compare it to going over and putting your money in a bank. When you look at the stock market, unless you're just really good at picking a particular stock and you invest in money market funds instead and all sorts of other investment groups, you'll get something like this if you're really good at it. And I said, but when you make these couple of changes to the business, all of a sudden, boom, here comes another drastic increase. Are you happy? And everybody, oh, yeah, that's really good. I said, now let's talk about what happens when you get rid of the dead inventory in your business. And I went through all the math to that one, and it came up, and it almost doubled it. And I asked them again, well, what do you think about this? And there was, oh, yeah, I'm excited. Except this one person, I so remember this day. And that one person looks at me and says, well, I'd been fired if I'd had an ROI that was that low. And I'm like, who is this guy? Where in the world did this guy come from? And when this class is over, I want to talk to him as to find out what did he do that this number that I was so impressed with that he would say he'd been fired if he did it. So let me tell you about our guest. His name is Harold Havard. Perhaps Harold's big failure is that he's retired three times. And here he is back in life again. He recently sold a business, the one that I knew him from, and it was on the lower west coast of Florida. And with all these ideas that he has, Harold has decided that he wants to go and teach this to people. So he has a company called SoBiz Consulting, and it's SEWBIZ Consulting. And he's just so creative in the things that he does. So his goal is that he wants to be an instrumental part in introducing 3D virtual tours with new features to small businesses to promote sales and services. In the past, Harold worked with Sam Walton, opening and operating the Dallas district for Walmart. When we were talking before the show started, we were discussing people we knew and places that we both knew in common. He spent 18 years with Computer City as a divisional sales manager, and his division had over $1 billion yearly sales. And I think at one point he was also in the sporting goods industry, if I remember right. So his last retirement came from he sold an 8-year-old sewing store for what he asked for, and his store was rated number one in the company in his category for the year, and this is where I knew him from. The oddity from Harold is that the man does not stop. He just goes and goes and goes, and he's always looking at ideas and finding something new. And this is the reason that we asked him to come and be with us tonight to see if we could get him to put a little pause in there for a moment and share some of these ideas and thoughts that he's got. So, Harold, you are there, right?
Right. I'm here, Tom.
Well, I'm glad you could be with us. I appreciate you being on the program. And I guess first, tell us about the song. Why did we pick Chuck Berry's song?
Well, I remember it from my youth, maybe because it was a wild man singing it, but, you know, we've all got to continue to learn. We've got to make changes as we learn, and just like you brought up the last business we had, I was going to retire, and my wife said, what do you want to do? And I said, something. And she said, a fabric store. So do you think I knew anything about a fabric store? Well, we went in the fabric and machine business and were very successful with 8 years. We sold the business during the pandemic, and I'm consulting for the new owners, who, by the way, the lady that bought the store was a customer of ours, and I'm consulting for them for a year. So it's a good experience, and I've gone out in the consulting business. And with that, because of virtual tours being so popular in the retail industry, in the realtor industry, they are now blossoming into retail. So I'm just thinking, it's kind of like school, you learn every day.
Well, let me throw you this one little quirk in it. So the song was sung by Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry is from the town where you and I first met each other.
Okay.
There. Another little tweak to it. So, folks, let me tell you about Harold before I start asking him a bunch of questions. I like a person who's always being creative, who's always thinking, who's always paying attention to things. And so I started looking at books that have been in my library, and I thought, yeah, these are the kind of books that remind me of Harold and his attitude towards learning. The first one, Best Practices Are Stupid. Harold thinks differently. Harold, there's an old Sam Walton quote to the effect of, if you want to be successful, look at where everybody else is going and go 180 degrees away from it, something to that effect. There's a second book, Break from the Pack. There's a book, Competing with the Retail Giants, because that's a part of what Harold's going to bring to us tonight. And another one is a book called Originals, relatively new book, Originals, How Nonconformists Move the World. And then the other person that I would put most close to Harold because of the way he thinks and the way he does things. And it's, Harold, are you familiar with Jim McInvale from Houston? Mattress Mac, they call him. And his book was Always Think Big. And he always tried lots of unique and different things. So with that, I've got some questions I want to ask my friend. Let's just tell us about them. The company that I knew Harold from during the years that he had his sewing machine and fabric store was the makers of the product line Baby Lock. Okay, all kinds of products in the sewing business from Baby Lock. So there was a model that Baby Lock came out with called the Solaris. Harold's got an interesting story. Harold, if you would, share the Solaris story with us.
Well, my regional called me Mr. Solaris because we had sold more than anybody else in the company, to my understanding. What we did, because I'd seen so many different retailers I worked for would have a program when they rolled something out, and at the general manager meeting, so on and so forth, and one of them that one of the companies had was, your future's so bright, you have to wear sunshades. So we came up with that same program. Before that machine was introduced, it was a $20,000 MSRP machine, and with me having Walmart DNA in my blood, I did have to discount it. I will agree with that, but every customer that bought one of the machines, we took their picture, put it on Facebook, a lot of fanfare. We had props, they would wear sunshades or this, that, and the other. And Facebook really made our year that year, and it still does because it's so strong, because we take pictures of every event, whether it's on a cruise ship, and it's, you know, we'll get back to that at one time, every class, every meeting, a lot of customers, because that age group is all about being social. But we ran this promotion. Every customer got a certificate from Baby Lock when they bought it. We made a copy of it. We put it on the wall. And I can tell you, if you go down to Party City, you can see some themes. You can put some themes together, even if it's Mardi Gras during that time, this, that, and the other, very economically. But Facebook made that promotion, and before the machine was shipped, we sold 30 of them. So far, since that machine came out, we've sold over 150 of them. So it was just the excitement in the store. We had it decorated and very, very social.
Marvelous. Marvelous way to take and get people involved. It reminds me of an editor that I knew, first editor I ever worked for years ago, by the name of Jim Corey up in Philadelphia area. And he wrote a story once about a person who, in an old hardware store, took pictures of customers when they did certain things and hung them on the wall, said it was amazing how many people wanted to come back and show some other family member, here's my picture on the wall here when I was doing something or buying something. Yes, being social and being recognized and being appreciated for being a customer. So at that point, 150 of the machines, was that the correct number I heard you say?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a nice chunk of change. Would I be correct in thinking then that the average sale at your business was fairly high?
Absolutely.
Now, you made mention about Facebook, that you liked Facebook, and yet as I hear you talk about age groups, define for us in numbers, what was your target age group? How young to how old?
Target age group, our average customer age generally, probably 98%, is 60 years old to 80 years old. And when we opened the store over 8 years ago, there were very few of those people that were on Facebook. We made it a point to let them know you'll be safe there. You won't see anything you don't want to see. Don't invite your family and don't do politics. Just do flash, sew, and quilt. And same thing there. They would communicate with their kids. Their kids would watch them. Of course, there were some problems with customers buying a $20,000 MSRP machine at times because maybe a daughter or son would see what was going on and say, that's my inheritance. Well, they're going to inherit that machine. So we just made it fun. We had to get them to trust Facebook.
Gee, I would think at that point you could almost have Facebook classes for your customers.
Correct. We never got to that point because the iPads, which they generally use, and the phones these days, and we would set them up if we needed to, but, you know, they had a big click and a lot of friends, and it just became a social thing.
You mentioned when we were talking, I guess it was last week, that you created a vendor virtual class that you put on Facebook. I think this would be an idea that people would love to hear because you spoke very highly of it. You spoke of it in positive terms with money. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Well, when the pandemic came along, of course, we were on lockdown, but we stayed open to sell machines by appointment and to repair machines because they were being used so much to make masks. And what would happen is that, let me get to the notes. Okay, I'm still here. Sorry. what happened is it was dead in the store. Then we got a call from a vendor saying, we would like to do a virtual class in your store at no cost to you. We will discount the product 30% to the customer. You don't have to handle it. You don't have to check it in, receive it, check it out. You'll get 30% of the profit or 30% of the sales after the show is over. We wound up with $4,500 just for advertising that virtual reality 2-hour show 2 times. And other vendors started stepping up to the plate.
So this is a vendor who is going to distribute this to all of the information they have about their customers? I mean, as far as however they get there, they're looking at the entire customer base across the United States, perhaps?
Yes. With us being in Southwest Florida, it's very we have customers from Germany during regular times, the snowbirds, and it's just a big mix. So they reach all over the nation. We also have a young man that went to work for us that was a sewing machine technician. He's been there 2 years. He started doing Facebook videos on that Solaris machine and selling product, and now he's got 12,000 people that follow him on Facebook. His Facebook address is Sew with Joe, if anybody's interested in his style and seeing what he does. But all those customers, those 12,000 customers and everyone we have on Facebook gave us a big audience. We were the number 2 largest revenue producer in the U.S. with these virtual tours. I assume the number 1 was some chain that had 5 to 14 sewing stores.
So we're about 22 past the hour. Let's take a quick ID break, and I'll come back and remind everybody who we're visiting with in tonight's Small Business Conversation.
This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network from Profits Plus.
So this is Tom Shea, host of Small Business Conversations for Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Our guest is a friend of mine by the name of Harold Havard, who is just the kind of person I want to sit down at night and just talk to him and listen and have pen and paper handy to take notes about all the different things as a business owner he tries. Now, his situation is that it's product-oriented and service-oriented both. So for those of you who are in a service industry, you'll hear the information that he just shared about how he had his repair person who had 12,000 people following him on Facebook. Pretty impressive number. Our guest is Harold Havard. Let me tell you how to contact Harold. It's sewbizconsulting.com, and it's SEWBIZ Consulting, SULTING.com. You can find him at H.G. Havard, and Harold spells his last name H-A-V-A-R-D at AOL.com. A phone number of 239-850-4001. So, Harold, you've mentioned a couple times, we didn't jump onto it, but you've mentioned a couple times about the name of your store, Flash Sew and Quilt. Interesting story. Where'd that name come from?
The front of the building, the sign.
But how? Give us the particulars of how that name came up. I mean, I know you've used it very well. We'll talk about that. But
that sign was hanging on the front of the building, but it said Flash Boutique. The boutique lady decided to move out, go go to another area. And since I came from Walmart and we pinched pennies, I had to think of a way to save $4,000 or $5,000 for a sign that large. Flash was a very large sign. Boutique was a small sign. For $260, I had changed Boutique to Sew and Quilt. I had a lot of little quilt lady names for the store picked out and hadn't decided on one or done my LLC, so I just went with Flash Sew and Quilt. And we used that Flash in a lot of things. Of course, we weren't the first to have a Flash sale, but everybody else is using it now. And, you know, we'd say we're, you know, it'll be gone in a flash, so on and so forth. So just a money-saving venture, and even though it's not normal, it's okay.
Yeah, you've done very well. I know of people who were with Baby Lock who know that I used to live on the coast of Florida by you, and your name would come up in conversations. And yes, the fact that you did run business very uniquely and differently, you knew how to run a business, cut the cost corners. We were talking before the program started about an article I read recently. Oklahoma was touting some great retailers ahead, and one of them was that JCPenney came from Oklahoma. And it talked about when Sam Walton was with JCPenney, and the comment was most remembered was how JCPenney taught Sam Walton how to wrap a package so that it would save paper and string, always looking to save. Interesting, as folks, as we would look at this, I believe it's an old biblical saying about the student cannot be greater than the teacher. And yet, if you look today at JCPenney and you look at Walmart, I think we have an example here of where this student became better than his teacher. I think JCPenney would be very disappointed if he saw what his stores look like today, what's left of them. And Walmart, on the other hand, just goes and goes and goes. You've done some great things, Harold, with Facebook. One that you had mentioned was a comment/sell, I guess for lack of a better word, feature that was a part of Facebook.
There are a lot of stores that have started using comment sell because sales were so low and maybe they weren't selling enough upper-end sewing machines to keep their businesses going. There are some stores out there that the owners or their people are having a Facebook event every day at 5 o'clock. But Comment Sell is also a Facebook program that has just been engineered and came up when this started, where you have a person from your store that sells items. The customer signs up before this event starts, but they talk about the item they show, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. And if the customer desires to buy that product, they just are online with that program, and they will put sold and the number of the item, sold, 113. It will show up on the screen, and everybody watching that sees that customer bought it. And they're selling a lot of items. Generally in the store, if you have a sale on a pattern, for instance, you may sell 5 items. And I've seen stores sell 30, 40, 50 patterns in that hour. And, of course, when the ladies see their friend buy one, they're going to jump on the wagon and buy one, too. So it's most of them are very exciting. They talk about the merchandise and their stores. You can sell gift cards on it, so on and so forth. Some even are selling full bolts of fabric on this program. So Comment/Sold is the name of the company, and it's one of the hottest things going out there today.
So not having seen this myself, let me ask, is this in a store doing this? Does this, in effect, create a program that's kind of like your own version of Home Shopping Network or QVC?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But your name is coming up on the screen for everybody, maybe the 1,000 other people on there that are watching, and they see what you're buying, and it just spurs sales.
So the key is also finding what the one particular time of day that you should take and play it. I mean, and you've got to be consistent.
Right. A lot of them are doing the comment sold either one or two times a week, and generally it's around 8 o'clock.
Okay, that's just 8 o'clock at night?
Right.
Okay. And, Dylan, is that Eastern time?
Yes, wherever they are, it's 8 o'clock from what I've seen.
Oh, okay. So they're thinking that they're drawing primarily from people within their own time zone.
Correct.
Let me ask this one. In your experience of having used Facebook, what's your technique, your methodology for enlarging your Facebook audience?
Well, you've got to be on there consistent. Once a day doesn't get it, once a week doesn't get it. Getting the customers on there is the number one thing. You can also put your sell items and special announcements. It's something you can't just let go. You've got to make it a priority.
All right, so there has to be an entertainment value to it. Whether they're coming to buy or not, you're hooking them in because there's entertainment in what you're doing.
Right. They're basically sitting there sewing, and I guarantee you their iPhone or iPad is sitting beside them, and when they see a flash Facebook, they're going to look at it, and they're going to comment.
So how did you find, in having the person for this event that you're doing at this particular time, I would expect that this takes someone working for you who's got a really strong, a magnetic personality that people want to watch them, hear them, communicate with them. How did you find that person?
99% of the time on comments sold, the owner of the store does it. And they know the product. Sometimes their son or daughter may do it, but they've been in the store for a long time. The customers know them. But generally, it's the store owner.
Okay. Have you seen somebody who has expanded this concept past the traditional geographic boundaries of how far away they pull a customer from? You know,
well,
of your situation, you're on Florida, you've got a son living in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Shy of him, do you have a methodology as to how you could draw someone from his community?
No, it's basically word of mouth. It's like so with Joe. Like I said, Joe has nearly 13,000 followers now, but it's word of mouth. A lot of times people will, like, he has followers from Australia. He has followers all over the United States, so they may not normally be awake Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, for instance, to see Joe, but since it's Joe, they're going to be there. So it's all over the U.S., We have a large Canadian customer base, so it doesn't matter where they are, really.
All right, and before we take the bottom of the hour break to keep continuity flowing here, what percentage of the 13,000 buy something?
I would say 20%.
And the rest enjoy Joe's class that's to teach them something.
Correct.
So, comparable to where a business were to take and calculate what their conversion rate is as to how many people walk into a store and how many people actually make a purchase. I would suspect in major stores in a mall type setting, they'd be really thrilled if they could get a 20% conversion rate. So doing it online, you have no rent. You just have a neat way of getting your message out.
Exactly.
Bottom of the hour. We're going to play another piece of music here, and then we'll ask Harold to tell us, okay, why are we playing this song? Okay, Harold, why are we playing Satisfaction by the Stones?
Because I'm not satisfied. You know, I'm going to make it happen. And I think because of the people you've got on your, all the people you've got here tonight, and that's loyal to you and listens to you and takes ideas from you, they're not satisfied either. Because they're looking for ways to change their business and to make more money.
You seem to be the person that can watch just about any kind of business and get an idea that you can translate it into another form of business. You seem to have that translation vision that where a lot of people would go, well, this has nothing to do with me because I don't sell fabrics and I don't do the job of fixing sewing machines. I do landscaping, or I sell bicycles, or whatever it may be. But you seem to have the ability to see something somewhere and pull it into the world in which you are at that particular point in time. How do you do that?
It just comes natural. You can't be satisfied and be, unless you inherit a lot and be real, real successful, you've got to, I'm just not satisfied. I just keep looking at things. It's just like the virtual tour program that I am going into to do virtual tours for small business. Right now, Matterport is doing some beautiful virtual tours, 3D, where you can walk through a house. And I know in Florida, houses are selling without people even setting foot in them because they can walk through them. They can see a dollhouse view of that house. They can see everything. They can even measure the rooms with the tool on there. And it's gotten so popular that Zillow, the real estate company, allows you to do your own virtual tour in your house and put it on their website with your mobile phone. So the other thing about virtual tours is that you can tag items in your store. On Matterport.com, there's a virtual reality of a antique store in France, every item they have in that store is tagged. It will take you to a picture of it. It'll show you the definition of it, and you can buy it right there. So it's, you know, this is coming into retail, and there are some other things coming up because you don't have to have the $4,000 camera that we're using. You can do it with an iPhone. So it's just another way, if the customers aren't in your store, they can walk through it and look at it. And new customers
especially.
You're talking
about tagging these items.
Okay. Right.
When you talked about this business tagging them, how many items did this business sell? How many different items, or SKUs as we would call them?
It looked like a large antique store. I would say they probably had... And it was furniture, large furniture. I would probably say they had 150 items tagged, so you could get a close-up view.
And when they're tagged, what if I am viewing this store online and one of these items is tagged, what is the customer seeing, or what's the draw to the item for the customer?
Well, when they click up, there's a little circle on it, a little blue circle. They click on that circle. It brings that item up with a picture. You could even put a link to your store on it, and you could sell the item right there.
So at that point, it's the online look becomes the actual store, as they're literally... Well, it's not literally. They're virtually walking through the store. So it's a matter of just how many items in the store do you want to take and tag?
Correct. I would say you would do some high-dollar merchandise items, and I would say you would do a welcome. You would do your service. You would do whatever you wanted to pick. Do you have a repair department? What else do you have that the customer needs to be educated to get them in the store?
Tell us one more story because of this translating ability that you have. Share with us the story of the law firm.
Well, after I retired for the third time, we did a trust. We talked to a few attorneys that were older than I am, and I don't have anything against old people because I am one, but I didn't know anything about a trust. They didn't know a whole lot about a trust. They wanted to talk about their grandkids and what I need to give my grandkids, and I had different ideas. Then I talked to, and let me go through some price ranges, and they would, you know, they wanted to charge $1,000. Okay. So, we saw an ad for a firm here in our area and up in the Tampa area. They had a virtual reality, a virtual program that you could watch, just like the classes that we did, and there must have been 20 people on that virtual tour, we'll call it. And they even have a technical department that can help you get on, because most of these people were older than I am. We went through that class. If we were interested, we could call them back and set up an appointment. We had already gone through in this virtual class nearly everything we needed to know. They answered a lot of questions before we even asked. Then we went to their office. And we went to their office three times. Now, there was a difference between that lowball offer, which that lawyer didn't know the current laws. And they were very, very different. So, you know, after $10,000, I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but we felt very good about it. And they're using that. There are only two law firms in this city that does that. And it's a very good opportunity for virtually any kind of business.
I'll share one with you. I did a webinar for a group last night, and in a Zoom format, and we were talking about things in business and how was it. And one particular business owner commented that in giving estimates, he was booked through December 22nd, earliest he could come see anybody. Myself, I've always cringed with the concept of estimates. I think about the idea of, well, how many estimates did you give today? And I go, I think that's irrelevant. I think the only thing that matters is how many deals did you close? Because estimates, you're just out there knocking on doors. And you're getting your name out in front of people. But you really matter, did I make a sale on this or not? That's what counts. In your area, Harold, there was a gentleman who's known as Mr. Pool Guy. Well, that's a competitive situation because a person in most situations is not going to just, yeah, build me a pool, and that's it. You know, they're going to ask the questions like you did of the lawyers about prices and stuff like that, the other things going with it. This person, Mr. Pool Guy, has a series of videos explaining all kinds of things about swimming pools, how they're built, how to take care of them, how to solve problems and things like this. And his statistic is that if a person has watched 5 of his videos, then he gets the contract 8 out of 10 times. I'm kind of impressed with that number. The fact that you get the business 8 out of 10 times. And in doing so, I would look at that and go, you don't have a whole lot of time left to go out and give estimates to people because you're getting 8 out of 10 of them to begin with. You've got to have an extremely full calendar. But when you say I'm booked for estimates, I'm going to have to look and say, well, what percentage are you actually closing? And I think a lot of folks don't bother to look at something like that. And this guy's situation is all about YouTube. That's where he puts all of his stuff, getting people's attention. We're going to take a quick break. I got another question or two I need to ask our guest. I need to talk to the person right quick on the side here who's going to be the guest for the December. Joining us next month is Chris Ramey. Chris has been with us previously. Chris is from the Home Trust and Affluent Insights. And when Chris was last with us, we talked about selling to our affluent customers. Chris, are you with us tonight?
Tom, I sure am.
Well, we're looking forward to having you join us to be the person who starts off 2021. Tell us what we're going to get to share with our listeners.
Well, wow, has the world changed since last time we spoke? You know, in 30 days, we're going to be the end, and we're going to discuss the changes in retail and how retailers have changed, but we're really going to get down to how retailers need to change to ensure their messaging resonates with their best clients as we tease them out of their homes and into our stores. I usually focus on high-net-worth individuals, and certainly those are the individuals you want, regardless of the market position you have, because they're ready to spend their money.
This would be great, and I think it's right in time with, as you and I were discussing earlier in the month, how Dollar General is getting ready to start their own version of affluent stores. My thought is, if someone like Dollar General can change to direct their efforts towards affluent customers, they're not going away, they're just adding a new angle, then everyone ought to be able to take and get a piece of that action.
Regardless of that, they understand, even though they're at the bottom of the pyramid, they understand where they can grow. And I bet your listeners do too, and that's why we'll have a good meeting.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us for tonight's program, and we will talk to you in January. Thanks, Chris.
Tom, thank you so much. This was a great evening. Look forward to seeing you next month.
One of the things that we talked to Chris about, I mentioned that's a new format that Dollar General is coming out with. And the little side note was because Chris's target is more affluent customers, he had never been in a Dollar General, and he wanted to go see, okay, well, what's the format they got here? Because he knows that he's going to go out and look at the format that they have coming. Our guest is introducing us tonight to this really neat idea of 3D virtual tours of your business. And he's got a lot of background over the years, because I mentioned that he had been a part of Walmart, been part of Computer City. Harold, do I remember correctly, you have also sporting goods somewhere in your background? Is that right?
I worked for Sports Authority for 5 years.
Okay. I thought you had told me that at some point in time. But if you want to learn more about this 3D virtual tour idea, here's where you find Harold. Email hghavard, and Havard is H-A-V-A-R-D, at AOL.com. His website, SoBiz Consulting, S-E-W-B-I-Z, consulting.com, and a phone number of 239-850-4001. Okay, so I'm going to have two questions for you that will take up the rest of our time. You very quickly mentioned cruises. Where did that come into play? What was the cruise deal?
The cruise deal was, there are some very well-known teachers out there. As a matter of fact, on my cruises, that the best-known person and her sidekick, another teacher and fabric designer, did our cruises, and I think we did four of them. I paid them $20,000 each for a five-day cruise, airline fare, cruise ship fare, you name it. But it was well worth it. We always, on every cruise, no matter who was the teacher, we always had our top-end machines. They were shipped in by the company, and all we had to do was set them up and sell them. And generally, we would sell, I would say our sales rate on a cruise would be about 30%. We'd always have 100 ladies. With two teachers, we had 50 in each class. Royal Caribbean had the conference rooms on the ship, and they could be divided where they would hold 50 each. So we would have 3 days of classes. They were always on days that we were out to sea, so it didn't interrupt anything. The classrooms were open 24/7, so they could come down and sew at midnight. Some of them sewed all night, especially an Australian lady on one cruise. But they were a lot of fun. We all sat together at dinner, and you know, they were free to do what they wanted to and free to buy a machine.
And this made money for you, of course. All right. So here's my last question of the evening. Here's my last question of the evening. If you were a service or product-oriented business today, what would be, let's say, five best ideas that you would have for doing something to get people to notice your business?
I think that best thing is, I still stand by Facebook because it's a free medium, and word of mouth is the biggest thing out there, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation. You know, I think you've got to have the right people, like Joe. Joe came to us as a machine repair person, but had the abilities to teach because he was so good with people. I think you have to come up with good ideas, and you have to implement them and make them work. And if they don't work, drop them. Get rid of them. Number five, I guess, is the hardest one. Let's see. You just got to be, don't be satisfied. I mean, and make it happen.
I always saw you as being a person who would try just about anything out there to be different. Would you agree with me that with the changes that have occurred in the world since March, that if ever there was a time to try something wild, crazy, very different, that this would be the time, because customers are seeing so many changes in things in their life, that the idea of you trying something is going to be better received?
Absolutely, and I think it's got to be something that draws their attention, that keeps their attention. A lot of customers still aren't down here from Canada and up north, so they need that Facebook. They need that recognition. They need an avenue to make them feel better while they're not getting out. I can tell you the older customers are still not getting out.
You mentioned the Canadians. Curious to ask this question. Are you doing okay from the standpoint that a business can still sell and things get shipped across the border easily? I mean, I know Canadians can't come here and we can't go there. Are you finding unique ways to sell to them since they are stuck north of the border?
Well, it's still the Facebook things and comments sold. So, you know, that it, just the new things, but there haven't been any problems with shipping. And we still have an increase for the year. Or the store I sold still has an increase.
Which they're happy there at that point and happy to still have you around to coach them and help them do things. So the idea of where you're going at this point for career number four is your business is now going to take and help people do the 3D virtual tours of their businesses. Can you give me a 90-second, here's how it's done?
On the virtual tours, you would need to get, if you want a professional virtual tour, you'll need to find someone with Matterport, M-A-T-T-E-R-P-O-R-T, that will do a virtual tour. In our area, they are doing them for $200. We had done two in our store in the last 4 years, and they're about $200 a piece. Very professional. If you see them on real estate, you'll know it when you see it because you can walk through. If you do it, it's a little technical. You can do it. It may take you two or three tries, but it can be done. But it's best to let a professional do it. And if anyone has any question about anything we talked about tonight, feel free to call me. I'd love to share this, and if I can help you, I'd be more than happy to help you.
And Harold's the kind of guy who's not a, ooh, I learned this at school. Harold's learned it from the School of Hard Knocks and firsthand being out there in the business field. So, my friend, I'll ask you the last question. What are you doing for Christmas?
Eating honey baked ham and having a glass of wine.
Red or white?
White.
My wife has a plaque here that says, I want Christmas to be white, but if the white runs out, I'll take the red wine.
Same here.
So, well, let's see. That is good. I am, I don't know if I had said on the last program, I have been in Florida for most of my life, and I have just this September, packed up, left the state of Florida, and moved to my home state of Arkansas. I live on a mountain that overlooks the town that I grew up in. And as I look at the, I told my mother the other day, I said, Mom, I set up my Christmas tree, and underneath my Christmas tree is my Lionel train set that you gave me 57 years ago this Christmas. So my little train set has finally made its way back home. Harold, thank you. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Would love to have you come back, talk to us some more. And since you have family here in the state of Arkansas, when traveling picks up again, you know, you're going to Fort Smith. It's just a very, very short drive for me, and I do know where the good places are to eat in Fort Smith because we have several really good locally owned restaurants to go to. Of which my closing point to everybody tonight is, hey, where you can and where you're comfortable, go out and eat a meal in somebody's locally owned restaurants. I'm reading reports of restaurants that are just taking a beating out there. And the death rate of restaurants, there's already been 10,000 that have closed. And there's an expectation of another tremendously high number of restaurants that aren't going to make it. By all means, please go out where you can, have a meal with somebody locally, help someone else who's got a small business make it through. Harold, thank you. Everybody, thank you for being with us. Instead of our usual closing, I'll pick something a little different tonight to close off with the program. See everybody next year.